Breaking this morning, Hamas says it will release Israeli hostages this weekend as planned, apparently resolving a major dispute that threatened the ceasefire in Gaza. The terror group said mediators from Egypt and Qatar will work to remove all hurdles, and Hamas indicated it will release three more Israeli hostages. Saturday, Hamas had threatened to delay the hostages' release, claiming Israel had violated terms of the ceasefire. President Donald Trump had said all hell would break loose if Hamas did not release the hostages, and Israel threatened to renew its offensive if the hostages were not freed as planned. Also developing this morning, multiple media outlets are reporting this morning, mass firings of federal government employees have begun less than 24 hours after President Donald Trump signed an executive order giving Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency more power over the federal workforce. CNN and Politico are reporting that probationary employees at the Department of Education and Small Business Administration were terminated yesterday. These mark the first mass firings as the new Trump administration and DOGE look to dramatically shrink the federal workforce. It also comes as a federal judge ruled the administration's deferred resignation program can proceed. The White House says about 75,000 employees have already accepted the offer, which allows them to leave their jobs but be paid through the end of September. Also yesterday, five unions sued the Trump administration, seeking to block the possible firing of hundreds of thousands of additional federal employees who refuse to accept buyouts. In a complaint filed in Washington, D.C. federal court, the unions accused the White House and others in the executive branch of undermining Congress's role in creating and funding a federal workforce, violating separation of powers principles. This workforce issue started when President Trump began his new administration demanding that federal employees who work remote from home return to the office. He believes many employees are not producing and are taking advantage of the system. This morning, several NATO allies are stressing that Ukraine and Europe must not be cut out of any peace negotiations after the Trump administration signaled it's planning face-to-face talks with Russia on ending the war in Ukraine without involving them. It also comes as Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said Ukraine should give up hopes of joining NATO or winning all of its territory back from Russia. We want, like you, a sovereign and prosperous Ukraine. But we must start by recognizing that returning to Ukraine's pre-2014 borders is an unrealistic objective. Chasing this illusionary goal will only prolong the war and cause more suffering, Hegseth said. The United States does not believe that NATO membership for Ukraine is a realistic outcome of a negotiated settlement. Instead, any security guarantee must be backed by capable European and non-European troops. Yesterday, President Donald Trump said he and Russian President Vladimir Putin had agreed to begin negotiations immediately on ending the war. In a post on his Truth Social platform, the president said he and Putin have agreed to, quote, work together very closely to bring the conflict in Ukraine to a swift end, including visiting each other's countries. Trump later spoke with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Trump says the conversation went well, and Zelensky wants to make peace. Zelensky posted on X saying they, quote, talked about opportunities to achieve peace and discussed our readiness to work together at the team level. Also new this morning, the Wall Street Journal is reporting Chinese officials have floated a proposal to the Trump team to hold a summit between Trump and Putin and to facilitate peacekeeping efforts after an eventual truce. However, the journal says a White House official said that options was, quote, not viable at all. So what happens next? According to President Trump, Vice President J.D. Vance and Secretary of State Marco Rubio will lead a delegation that will meet with Ukrainian President Zelensky. Why? Tomorrow, at the Munich Security Conference, later today, the Senate is expected to confirm President Trump's pick for Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. after the Senate cleared a major procedural hurdle to his nomination yesterday. Senators voted 53-47 along party lines to end debate on Kennedy's nomination, teeing him up for a final vote today. Since his nomination, Kennedy has faced scrutiny from both sides of the aisle over previous stances he's taken on health matters, most notably on the effectiveness of vaccines. One senator even pressed him on whether he is a conspiracy theorist. For his part, Kennedy has vowed to make America healthy again when it comes to nutrition and the foods we eat, as well as dealing with obesity rates and other health problems. A confirmation hearing will also be held today for another Trump pick, Linda McMahon. She could soon lead the Federal Department of Education, despite several former WWE employees, as well as current and former education officials, raising concerns about whether she is fit for the position. Critics question her lack of education experience. Also, there was a lawsuit alleging McMahon was involved in turning a blind eye to child sex abuse during her tenure as a WWE executive and how she might implement executive orders on gender issues and school choice. So far, no Republicans have voiced objections to McMahon leading the Department of Education, giving her a clear path to confirmation. The hearing also comes amid reports that President Trump is planning to completely dismantle the Federal Education Department, saying New York has chosen to prioritize illegal aliens over American citizens. It stops, and it stops today. U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi announced the Justice Department is suing New York State over its policy of not cooperating with the Trump administration's crackdown on illegal immigration. The lawsuit targets New York's green light law, which grants driver's licenses to people who are in this country illegally. In addition, the law bars questions into a person's immigration status and bans the State Department of Motor Vehicles from sharing information with law enforcement or federal agencies unless directed to be a judge. At a news conference, Bondi fired this salvo. "If you don't comply with federal law, we will hold you accountable. We did it to Illinois. Strike one. Strike two is New York, and if you are a state that's not complying with federal law, you're next. Get ready," Bondi said. The lawsuit names Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul, Democratic Attorney General Letitia James, and the head of the DMV, Mark Schroeder, saying from vehicle stops to border crossings to executing arrests and searches, immigration authorities depend on these records to assess in real time the situations they face and the people they encounter. Hochul's press secretary issued a response saying the governor, quote, "supports deporting violent criminals who break our laws, believes that law-abiding families should not be targets, and will coordinate with federal authorities who have judicial warrant." James also issued a statement saying, "Our state laws, including the green light law, protect the rights of all New Yorkers and keep our communities safe." There is word this morning that Governor Hochul and President Trump have agreed to meet next week when she travels to Washington for the National Governors Association meeting. X, the social media platform owned by close Trump ally Elon Musk, has agreed to pay to settle a lawsuit from the president over being kicked off the platform, then known as Twitter, following the January 6, 2021 insurrection. According to reports from the Wall Street Journal and New York Times, court filings from this week show both parties filed a motion to dismiss the appeal and pay their own costs, with X agreeing to pony up about $10 million. A judge granted the dismissal Monday. Last month, Meta settled a similar lawsuit over its suspension of Trump's Facebook account in the wake of January 6th. The amount in that case was $25 million. Finally this morning, we have for you a sound perhaps you haven't heard before. A herd of elephants in Australia is literally trumpeting the end of their move to a new home, a move that was years in the making. Those sounds all signal good news, according to officials with Zoo Victoria. This herd, comprised of one adult male Asian elephant, five adult females, and 3 2-year-old calves, seemed happy with their news digs after making the 25-mile trip from the zoo in the heart of Melbourne. The animals were relocated to a new enclosure at an open-range zoo, which is 10 times bigger than their former home. The move took nearly 2 years of planning, 3 convoys of specially made air-conditioned trucks, a police escort, and synchronized traffic lights to make it happen. All combined, you're talking 25 tons.